I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To talk about on a Saturday morning, and I talk about it during the week at the times that I'm on, but get a lot of time to just kind of roll it out. There's never enough time, but we'll try to make the time today. And there's so many different things that I would like to talk about. The Sixers may be at the top of the list, and I've warned people. Because the Phillies we don't care about. They get blown up again last night, 8 runs in the second inning. So another one of those players that you think has a chance to be a good part of the future, future Nick Pivetta, gets just destroyed in the second inning. But we'll save that. We'll save that. But the Sixers are really what I want to talk about. And not because of the fact that, and we all know the team's going to be better. You know, I'm on board with that. I understand that. They got a general manager that understands. They got better players. They got it all. I mean, they don't have it all to win a championship yet, but the reality is they are better. We know that. But that's not what I want to talk about. They are screwing you so badly. It is a disgrace. Not the players, not the general manager. Brian Colangelo, not the head coach, Brett Brown, but you got to go above that. And when I told people, basically, that you got to be careful of Scott O'Neill, who is the ultimate spin doctor, it is absolutely ruthless what they're doing. And you know why there's a problem? You are the problem. All you trust the process idiots that buy into everything that they've done. Oh, this is great. That is great. How long have I been telling you that the TTP doesn't stand for trust the process? It stands for trust the profits. That's all that owner, and there are multiple owners. And the one that's the worst is Josh Harris, and the other guys are pretty good people. I've met many of the other owners. They're pretty good people, but they don't make the decisions because Josh Harris is the managing general partner. Although David Blitzer's in with the same amount of money as Josh Harris, he has to be the general managing partner of the Devils and Josh Harris of the 76ers. I wish they could switch because I don't believe a lot of this stuff would happen. And Scott O'Neill is the ultimate spin doctor, and he is not your friend. And he comes off like he's your friend. By the way, he's the smartest guy in the room. In any room that you're in, all you have to do is ask him. He is the smartest guy in the room. But, and I've known for what's going on with tickets now, and I told you before that 14,000 season tickets sold is a bogus number. That is an outright misleading number to make you try to feel that you've got to find a way to get season tickets. That is not the truth. It's not the truth. And people keep on buying that nonsense. And here's what they're doing. And Angelo's talked about it. But before this all happened, let me, the first inclination that I had that there was a real problem. There were, if you want a 10-game plan, you know, they get a, you got a rep. There's no ticket office for the Sixers. It's just reps. It's all StubHub. If you wanted a 10-game plan, you could call up, hey, listen, I want to buy a 10-game plan. No problem. All right. You need a $200 deposit. Okay. All right. What are the locations you have available? Well, we don't have locations yet. We can't tell you the locations. They have them. They just won't. They're waiting. They're going to screw you with that too. Well, suppose I don't like, suppose I don't like the locations. Oh, well, your deposit's not refundable. So if you don't like your 10, they could stick you up in the corner, upstairs, in the end zone, in the corner, high rows. Doesn't matter. You don't like it? No, I don't want those as a 10-game plan. Well, your money's not refundable. That was the beginning, and I had heard about that a little over a week ago, a week to 10 days ago. And there's other things. They take tickets away from people just arbitrarily. Take tickets away. They've paid for them in a garbage time when they didn't try to win. They tried to lose. But it was all okay because all you trust the profit people, oh, it's all great. Well, this is what you've done. You've created this immunity or what they think is an immunity from doing the right thing for the fans because you trust the process. Do you trust this process? All right, so that's the story with the 10-game plans. Now they got this ridiculous club. It's a 76 club or whatever the hell it is. Well, you can be placed on a waiting list. Let me tell you, there's season tickets there, and they will be available. But now you're placed on a waiting list. Well, what are they? Okay, so you don't know the locations. All right, we have season tickets. Well, you don't like them? Well, I'm sorry, you don't get the money back. You have to reapply. You have to pay again. If you don't like them and don't take them, you got to reapply. So they're going to offer you the garbage, and they're going to put the good stuff on StubHub. So that's another problem. They're screwing you. You have suffered through this, and now they are screwing you badly. It is ruthless what they're doing, ruthless. And Scott O'Neill and Josh Harris are two people that really have to be held accountable. And you're not going to hear from either one of them because there's nothing they can say. So that is, it's just unconscionable. It's unconscionable what they're doing. You don't get your money back. They can give you what you want. You're trusting the profits. Okay, you're going to get it now because it's not the process, it's the profits. It is just horrible, horrible what they're doing to the fans. Here's another great thing that they got going on, and this is beautiful too. They are a partner with StubHub because all their tickets now are sold on StubHub. They're a partner. There's no ticket office. They're a partner with StubHub. And so for the most part, you'll pay a premium. There'll be games where they'll just try to dump them, and they're dumping their own tickets too, which is I don't care what they do with their tickets in terms of dumping them. But if you're a season ticket holder and you sell more than 10 games on StubHub and they notify you of this when they send you your season ticket application to get your seats, if you sell more than 10 games on StubHub, now, mind you, they're advertising for you to do that when because people can't go to all the games and people can't afford all the games. So if you sell more than 10 games on StubHub, they have the right to take those tickets back from you. So they tell you to sell on StubHub, but they don't really let you up to a point. You can sell on StubHub up to a point. And then after that, they have the right to take them back. And they've already taken back season tickets from people of good locations. They have taken back tickets. You suffered through garbage, absolute total garbage, not even NBA quality basketball because you trusted the process. You trusted it, and now you have to trust the profits. And it was all about the profits. This team is so ruthless. I've never, ever, ever heard of a team that does this to their fans. Never. The Eagles could do it in a heartbeat. They could do it in a heartbeat because there's so many people that want season tickets. They wouldn't do it. The Phillies don't do it. Now, the Phillies, there were some years that obviously that there was the ability to get season tickets for a good team. They would never do that. Flyers don't do that. This is awful. This is awful. And all these trust the process people, which now you better label yourself trust the profits people, it's you, in part, it's your fault. It's your fault. I'm not talking about the quality of the basketball team. I'm not talking about Sam Hinkie, that dope. I'm not talking about any of those people. I'm talking about this management is sticking it up where you know where. And that is wrong, absolutely wrong. And they can't defend themselves. They should try. I don't know how they would do it. Here's another part of what you have to understand. Over the years, you think, all right, well, you know, that was a bad team. They didn't sell a lot of tickets. They made money every year. They made money because they scammed their way under the bottom floor of the salary cap. There's a top part and there's a bottom number. They never got to the bottom number, but they scammed it. There was a gray area where when they traded for people, they counted the whole contract, but they didn't have to pay the whole contract, but they counted it against their number. But here's another part of this, and I wonder if they will ever, ever go into the area of being over the top part to get a champion over the top part of the cap. Because any team that is under the top, the way I understand it, I was told by an NBA person, and it may be some, you know, some little areas, but the way I understand it, if you don't get to the top part, every team that pays a luxury tax, Cleveland paid it last year, $54 million. There's other teams that paid it. This year, the Warriors are probably going to pay $100 million in luxury tax. That money is spread out to the other owners in the NBA who don't reach the top level of the salary cap. So the Sixers are getting money from the NBA. Besides all this, when you stay, and they will not be at the, not even close to the top part of the salary cap, they will be getting money from the teams that pay the luxury tax. They're one of the teams, any team that's not at the top of that luxury tax will be receiving money from the NBA, from the teams that will be spread out among those teams not at the top by the teams paying the luxury tax. So they're making money by not getting to the top of the salary cap. So I wonder if they're ever going to do that. Oh, you know, they got all this money under the cap. And they'll go out and spend money to get players. They have all these players coming up. I mean, think about the players that are going to come up for contracts. Embiid, which will be next year. Simmons, Okafor will be gone. But Simmons, Saric, Fultz. Fultz, at least you have 4 years. But all these years are going to have money coming up, which will take them to the, easily take them to the top of the cap. But they don't really want to get to the top of the cap. Be interesting to see what they do. And the reason they signed J.J. Redick, which I think is, and I've said this, I think he'll be good for this team. No question. J.J. Redick will be good for this team. The reason they paid him $23 million is because they hadn't reached the floor, the bottom part of the cap. So why not just give it to him to make sure you get him here for the 1 year? I would doubt after this year that J.J. Redick will be back. But we'll wait and see what happens there. Only because they have other contracts coming up. So with all this that's happening, you are getting it. You're not going to be able to afford the tickets. And they'll see when the single game tickets go on sale, and they'll see what the market bears. And then you don't know what the price of the ticket is. So the season tickets that will be put out there, and they'll be put out there because they have them, the season tickets that will be put out there will be at a higher number than people have already paid for the season tickets, basically in the same area. It's just unbelievable what they're doing to you. Boy, aren't you happy with your 76ers? Yes, you are. Anybody that's been affected by this, obviously, I'd like to hear from you. And I've heard some of the stories, but I'd certainly like to hear from you with that. Phillies, there's really nothing to talk about with the Phillies. I don't even know where to go. The All-Star game, I don't really care. The home run hitting contest, we know the balls were, anybody with half a brain knows the balls were juiced. So, but the Eagles are going to start July 24th for camp. And that's when it's football full steam ahead. And I heard Angela talking about who is more popular, and is it because of Twitter, Embiid or Wentz? I'm going to give you an example why I think what I think and what I feel in terms of the popularity when we come back. And the other thing Angelo mentioned, here's the other thing, and I'm going to talk about this. Angelo talked about when I was on with him on Tuesday, you know, there were years that I ripped teams, but he believes that you have to be on board with teams to get people to want to listen to you. I always try to keep it real, and I'll explain where I think there is a division there and where you've got to be honest with people, and we'll do all that. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494. On your wireless device, your cell phone, I don't care what you call it. On the AT&T service that I've been using for well over 30 years, it is #9494. And on Verizon, it is #9494. I'm Howard Eskin here on a Saturday morning. Lots to talk about. WIP Sports Time is now 8:18. Saturday morning. Such a happy day. Phillies playing today. Phillies?
Please allow me to introduce
Monday. We will be a week away from the beginning of... Now, the camp for the Eagles on July 24th is for rookies, quarterbacks, and wide receivers. And then the vets report. Everybody reports. The vets, everybody. Reports on July 27th. So it is full steam ahead. Let me add one other thing for these wonderful 76ers, these ruthless, money-grabbing people that are really sticking it to you. And again, I'm talking about ownership, management. I'm not talking about the team because I know the team's better. I know Brian Colangelo has really done some really good things. And I like Brett Brown. We'll see how good a coach he is. And I know he's a good teacher. But now that he's got players, I think there's pressure on him, whether it's a lot of pressure or not. But they will be better, no question. They will be better, and I'm totally on board with that. But what they're doing to people, another money grab, and this is totally bogus. They sent out a release. This was beautiful. I've never seen this in a release before. This was probably, I don't know, 2 months ago, that they were partnering with a company called F45 Fitness. Now, they were partnering with, they had their own fitness people. Partnering with what? They're not going to work out the players. They have their own people. They're fitness coaches. They have their people, but whatever. But at the end of the release for F45, this news release that they sent out, at the end of the release, they asked people if they wanted to invest $150,000 investment, they could say, they said, you could turn over and do $600,000 in the first year. You're not allowed to advertise. You're not allowed to say that. If it's a franchise, you're not allowed to say it's against the law or the franchise laws or whatever laws they would be. But to say that, well, why wouldn't the, and I mentioned it briefly one time, why would the owner not buy that? If he's going to triple his money, it's all about money. But the beauty, and there's something behind this. The company is from Australia. They're originally from Australia. Now, is there a zoologist involved with them? But it's all about money. Or is Ben Simmons' father involved with them? And it's just somebody's making money, the Sixers and somebody else. is making money off of this. It's all about the money. Trust the profits. It is trust the profits. Levi, what do you want this morning?
Did you buy in?
No.
Did you send you $150,000?
No.
You know, these little deals you talk about, how, you know, there's always some deals going on with these teams that cut the little guy out and all the big guys.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't get, Levi, I wouldn't get involved in that. Nobody can promise you with a good conscience can promise you that you will triple your money in 1 year. Nobody can do that. A company can't do that. A stockbroker can't do that. An investment guy can't do that. You know, they can have legitimate returns, but you can't tell people that they can get a legitimate return of three times their money in 1 year. It's just, it doesn't work that way. That's not the way the world works. It's not cutting out the little guy. Now, as far as that.
That's why the NBA is inking, printing money in the back room with Howard. These contracts are out of control with these players. I mean, a Harden contract, $228 million. Come on, man. Some cities don't have budgets to have $228 million on.
Well, it's $228 million.
Yeah, but wait a minute. I'm speaking
but,
now.
But I'm just Levi, let me just, I'm trying to add to your argument here. The Harden contract with the 2 years he's got left is $288 million.
So, well, I mean, that's just sickening to me.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's just sickening to me. I mean, but the owners, they're not but money grubbers. And the NBA, the NFL, all of them are money grubbers. I mean, listen, anybody fool enough to buy a ticket down there, that's on them. I go maybe one or two games a year, and I go as a guest or somebody. I'm not buying a ticket. I know a couple NBA players. I get a ticket every so often. I'm not buying no season tickets to that game.
Well,
I mean,
not every team is like that. Not every team is like that. Hey, listen, it is... There's no question it is a business. And selling tickets, you don't need to sell tickets to make money, as the Sixers have proven over the last 4 years. You don't need to sell tickets.
They have no TV money.
Yeah, it's a
they
TV money.
They have to sell air
That's
tickets.
A big part of it. Yeah.
Really?
And they rip people off in other areas, too.
I want to talk about this fraud fight, because this is a fraud fight. All this to Colin McGregor and Mayweather supposed to be so up against one another, yet they fly into London on the same, on Mayweather's private jet, huh? Yeah, but they're so in each other's face. It's a joke. You know, that's just a money grab.
When was boxing ever really not about money grubbing? Think about this. Anytime, they're all, and there's so many. Now, I don't know the promoters in this case. Well, Mayweather still owes, I think, $22 million in taxes from 2015. So, you know, he's, you know, not the most honest guy in the world.
Well, if he got $22 million, listen, let me tell you something about the IRS. I mean, they just jab and scrape and peel everybody for everything.
No. He owes, regardless of what he does, here's the reality. He owes $22 million to the government. They really do have to garnish his wages off this fight, and if they don't, there's something wrong. There is something wrong.
Howard, why don't you go get the tax attorney that represented Mike Tyson in the rape case? He might make out a little
bit.
Well,
I'm not going to get in. Hey, Levi, just to make you happy, it's time for football season.
Yeah, I'm loving that. I am absolutely loving that.
And the Sixers, I appreciate it. Have a nice weekend. But it is, we both agree, it's time for Eagles season. All right, have a good weekend, Levi. It is time. It's time for Eagles season. It's time to move on. And I heard there's different debates by people on the air this week. How could it's, you know, the Sixers take over and be the team that everybody loves more than anybody else in this city. I'll take you back to a year when Allen Iverson was on the team. There's no player that was more loved by the fans from the Sixers since Charles Barkley And that goes back, what, 20 years? At least 20 years. So there's no player more loved than Allen Iverson. None. They started off a season 1 year 10-0. And they couldn't get a sniff. They couldn't get a sniff of publicity in the newspapers when the newspapers were relevant. They couldn't get a sniff from talk radio. They couldn't get a sniff from anybody. They started the season 10-0, and people didn't even bring them up in conversation. That's why you got to understand. Regardless, the Sixers are going to be better. We know that. Okay, we all understand that they're going to be better. And Joel Embiid is he better play with everything he's doing. He can be as entertaining and creative as he wants on Twitter. But he better play. He better play. And it's not his doing a lot of times, but it could affect him. But in the end, the Eagles are the team that people just go crazy over. Whether it's good or bad crazy, they go crazy over. Now, obviously, there's a lot of energy because with the Eagles because I don't think there's any question. Is there any question out there that the Eagles are going to be a better football team? Is there any question out there that the Eagles will win more games this year than they won last year? Is there any question out there that Carson Wentz will be a better, in your opinion, and it's all opinion now, in your opinion, will be a better quarterback this year than he was last year? And I've been saying, and I've talked to these dopey Dallas Cowboy fans, I think he will have a better year than Dak Prescott this year. I truly believe he will have a better year than Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott fell into a very, very, very good situation for himself because of all the things. Great offensive line with a terrific running back who still could be suspended, and I hope he gets I hope justice is served in that regard, and he is suspended for a domestic violence case. But he had that. He had good receivers. So he didn't really have to do a lot himself. He had the people around him to do it. So in the end, it will be a better season all around for the Eagles. And I heard Angelo bring up, well, you know, will Joel Embiid be more popular because of Twitter? Well, he is more popular on Twitter. I mean, Carson Wentz, for the most part, is, he's on Twitter more than I thought he'd be, but he's got legitimate things on Twitter. It's not just to be a clown and be funny, and I'm not criticizing Embiid for doing that. He's got to play. You know, it's entertaining for everybody. But in the end, that doesn't make you more popular. What makes you more popular is what you do on the football field or on the basketball court. And that is what makes you more popular. And if Carson Wentz plays really well, I know he doesn't have the personality of Embiid. But Embiid's personality, it's kind of interesting. He is funnier and more creative, and we know what he is. I don't know how he puts that stuff on Twitter. His hands are so big. How can he use a touchscreen? I don't even know how he can use the touchscreen. I wonder whether there is somebody out there writing his tweets for him. I know you can talk into it, but you know there's misspellings, and you have to try to correct them when you use Siri and you talk into your phone for your text messages or for the text that you're using on Twitter. But regardless of all that, I know he's creative, but he has got to play. But in the end, he's so creative on Twitter, but when you talk to him in an interview, he's not as funny. He's a good guy. I mean, you can tell he's a good guy, but he's not as funny in person. So when you do an interview with him, it's not the humor and the personality that you see on Twitter. But we know he's that kind of guy. But regardless of all that, it's what they do on the field. And in the end, the quarterback of your football team, if he has real, if the success is there and it's better than it is last year, and it gives the a chance for the Eagles to ultimately get to where they want to go. He's the guy. I don't care what Joel Embiid does on Twitter. Now, you can comment on that and whether you think which guy will be the star of this town. It, whoever plays better, who whatever team wins more, will be the star of this town. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your wireless device, your cell phones, pound 9494 on AT&T. That's that service I've been using for over 30 years. All my phones, all my kids, everybody, is on AT&T. And it's pound 9494 on Verizon. WIP Sports Time is now 8:39. And WIP. First of all, let me just take a... on a Saturday morning, I always stop by to get my Swiss Farms coffee. And here at the Tasty Cake Studios, I'm never without any Tasty Cake. So I'm trying, and I've had these before. They're mini, mini cupcakes, and they're peanut butter. And I love peanut butter, and they are really good. It's not what I grew up with, because I grew up with the crimpets and candy cakes, but these are really good. But so I have that every Saturday morning when I come here. But one other note. Okay, the Phillies. This at bat last night in the second inning, the biggest hit of the second inning, might have been, and the season's over, but this might have been the topper. You come out in the first inning last night for the Phillies, you get a 2-0 lead. Nick Pivetta pitching well for him. You say, all right, Nick Pivetta, he's part of the future of the pitching. And in the second inning, they score 8 runs, and here is the biggest hit of the second inning, which made the season, for all intents and purposes, really just done. It's not funny. I don't mean to laugh. It's not funny. A grand slam in an 8-run inning. And that was the end of the game. And in a week, for sure, when the Eagles start, it'll be the end of the season. And there's a lot of people on that team I do like. Some of the players. Freddie Galvis, how can you not like him? Aaron Altair, how can he left with an injury last night. How can you not like him? Tommy Joseph is starting to hit better, although he didn't get a hit last night. Some of the pitchers, Pat Neshek won't be here, but he's a strange guy anyway. But it's just, it's not the manager's fault. Can't blame the manager. You can't blame the coaches. You just can't blame those people. Matter of fact, I talked to Larry Boa this week on my podcast. Said some really interesting things about the team's approach, but we talked about juiced baseballs. We talked about the face of baseball. That's another joke that ESPN's trying to make Aaron Judge the face of baseball. But we talked about that on my podcast this week, the Howard Eskin podcast, available on iTunes. So, but let me go back to the phones. Chris, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Nice to talk to you today.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Chris.
Hey, Carson Wentz comment is funny, but it seems like the national media just doesn't give this guy his props. I mean, I've read lots of articles on him, and I actually saw one where it was talking about the 10 best up-and-coming young quarterbacks, and he wasn't even in the list.
Well, I've seen him. It depends on which list are we talking about.
Well, it was just a random article about the you know, up-and-coming young quarterbacks that I was reading online, but it just seems like I haven't heard a whole lot of buzz in the national media about, hey, this guy's a real comer, and he's got all the tools, and he's going to be a
Yeah, but Chris, I've heard that from other people. I don't get who wrote it. Do you know who wrote the story or where the story came from?
It was a while ago too that I read it, but I just kind of was noticing that, you know, you see these lists of young players, and you even listening to ESPN and some of the other ones. They just, you know, they're talking about Prescott and some other young quarterbacks that you don't even think that highly of, and Carson Wentz just doesn't get in the conversation.
Well, of young quarterbacks, why wouldn't he? I mean, what young quarterbacks would you make? If you talk about, okay, give me the, when you say young quarterbacks, give me the top five, the top six. We'll go to top six. The top six young quarterbacks in the NFL. he has to be in there.
For sure.
Okay, so who would you name? Okay, Prescott, because of the success they had last year, but I think Carson Wentz will have a better season this year than Dak Prescott will for the Cowboys. So who do you – Andrew Luck's not a young quarterback anymore. Russell Wilson, is Russell Wilson a young quarterback anymore? But he's a good quarterback. Who are the young quarterbacks? I'm trying to think.
I just don't see it. It was Cam Newton. The names. I really
Cam
was
Newton them. Hasn't shown me anything. He's still a young quarterback, but I have my questions about Cam Newton. I mean, really, who do you Jared Goff, we know that Carson Wentz is better than him. I'd like to find out what article that was and if the guy was, whoever it was, could be delusional. But he's no worse than one of the top six young quarterbacks, even if you take guys that have been in the league for 3 or 4 years. He's got to be in that conversation. Now, we will see. He's got to improve this year. And, you know, no quarterback is a slam dunk. You do
Absolutely.
Have to.
This is a big year for him, for sure.
Yeah, it's a big year. And the Eagles put a lot of good things around him. With wide receivers, a running back, the offensive line with Lane Johnson there the whole year, and some additions on the offensive line. The offensive line will be better. So their offense, without any question, this tasty cake's good. Without any question, will be good. Will be better. So, and that's the aid for a quarterback. Carson Wentz didn't have a bad year last year. It was a good year. It wasn't good enough, but you got to remember who he has. And he didn't know he was a starting quarterback until 8 days before the first game. So, you know, you got to give him a little bit of leniency there too. No, but let me ask you a question. Okay, well, Carson Wentz. In your mind, who will be the most, I would say, admired or loved athlete that people will talk about mostly? Wentz or Embiid?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the injury. I think if Embiid stays healthy, I think he has a chance to be a super special player, and he could end up being the one that ends up being the player. But a quick comment about what you said about the Sixers versus the Eagles. I have two adult sons who are both way bigger Eagles fans than they are Sixer fans. And in the last week, I was talking to them and saying, hey, what do you think about this Eagle team? And both of them said to me, man, I'm really excited, more excited to see this Sixer team come together and what they're going to do. And I think you got to give it to Sam Hinkie, Howard.
Well, I don't have to give anything to Sam Hinkie, because let's look at his talent evaluation. Forget about all this hocus pocus. And nothing's come. The most they've ever won is 28 games. All right. So they've won they're 75-253 over the last 4 years. But here are his first round draft picks, and you can tell me if I've missed anybody. Nerlens Noel, gone. He was hurt the first year. So again, when you draft injured players, you don't have enough time to really evaluate. Nerlens Noel, I think, is a nice player, but I don't think he's anything special. He's going to get too much money, but he was hurt, and he's been hurt in between. MCW, another one of his first-round picks. He's gone. Embiid, if he's healthy, but the reason he got him, and he didn't want him, he wanted Wiggins. He tried to trade for Wiggins, but he won't give up anything. So Embiid, when he's healthy, but the jury's still out. Okafor, stiff, flat-out stiff. And Saric. So out of those, I'll give you Embiid and Saric. So 3 out of the 5 weren't good enough. This is his talent evaluation. And every pick he's taken of the first pick, Noel, or MCW wasn't hurt, Embiid, Ben Simmons wasn't his. But regardless, those two guys were hurt. And that hurts a team in trying to re-sign guys. So
well, he basically got Fultz and Saric.
No, he didn't get Fultz. He didn't get Fultz.
No, but he got him for that stiff point guard that he drafted ahead of Orlando, and then gave it back to him for.
That's fine. He got Saric. Saric is a sixth man. Saric is a bench player.
No, but he also got this pick back that we just had that we ended up trading into the number pick in the draft.
But you wouldn't have gotten Fultz if Sam Hinkie was here. And this is what people in the organization told me: they don't believe that Sam Hinkie would have made that trade and given up a first-round pick. They just don't believe that. So yeah, stop with the Sam Hinkie. He wasn't a good talent evaluator, and in the end, you got to be able to do that. he didn't really make any trades for players. Really, what players? I mean, he traded Drew Holiday and got Noel. But right, we'll talk about that, too. And I got to talk about Tim Tebow. I don't have to, but I will. 94 WIP. We'll get to the callers. We'll get right to you when we come back. WIP Sports Time is now 8:57.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.